That Israel Report was brought to you by The Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
Right now, time for the Israel Report. Joining us now on the line, we welcome Anthony Reich. Anthony, a very good morning to you, and thank you for joining us.
Boker Tov, Chanukah Sameach, of course, the last day of Chanukah. So I hope that everybody had the chance to light all the 8 candles on the Chanukiah last night, and we will still continue to bring light to the world this Chanukah. And in the whole context of Chanukah, of course, a lot of amazing stories coming out of the hostages from Gaza about their time in Gaza, and in particular the Chanukah that they spent in Gaza. And Segev Kalfon, who is a former hostage and who spent 2 years in Gaza, including 2 consecutive Chanukah festivals, was telling the news some stories about his time in Gaza. And what he said was that for him, Chanukah was the toughest chag of all the time that he spent in Gaza. And the reason for that is because his parents run a bakery. And Chanukah was the time that the bakery really came alive with the donuts and with the festivities. It was really a high season time in his parents' bakery. And he always has such fond memories, and particularly when he was in Gaza, had such fond memories of the Chanukahs that were spent in the bakery. And when he was in Gaza, of course, he was trying to relate to his fellow captives about how he felt when he was in the bakery and helping out, and the donuts were flying out the door, and the general air of joy and festivity, and how he missed that. He said a few really interesting things aside from how he related to Chanukah. The first thing he said was that for the first few months, there was absolute silence where they were held amongst the hostages, the fellow hostages themselves. And he said that for 4 months, he didn't even know the name of the person who was eating from the same plate as him in the tunnels in Gaza. For 4 months, they were unable to voice their names even to each other for fear of being beaten. He said they were brutally beaten by terrorists each time they opened their mouths. They even tried to whisper to each other. So I said that was the first 4 months, which is really, really brutal. He then went on to say that the conditions changed after that. They were able to communicate with one another. And he said at some point he decided that he wanted to create a kippah, a traditional head covering, a yarmulke, for the guys that he was being held with in Gaza. And so what he did was they had a garabia, which is a robe that is traditionally worn in the Arab Middle East. They had a garabia, he said, and they were able to tear it apart. And then he said he created a hole in the clothes that he was wearing. And when that hole was there, he requested a needle and thread from his captors to enable him to sew his hole up. And with that needle and thread, he took bits of material from the garabia and he created a kippah for each of the boys that he was being held with. And more than that, he embroidered their names onto each kippah so that they each had their own kippah with their name on. And he said that every time one of the terrorists came into the room, they had to quickly remove their kippah so that it didn't become obvious what they were trying to do. It's quite incredible to what extent the hostages went in order to somehow to try to preserve their Jewish identity, whether it be those trying to wear a kippah or saying the prayers on a Friday evening or singing some of the traditional songs. Everything that they could literally grab onto, they did. And this comes from people who were not necessarily religious or observant or even traditional in their everyday lives before they went to Gaza. So just another little snippet of a story that comes out of Gaza and, of course, is related in some way to Hanukkah, which is, of course, going to be ending the end of today.
Indeed. During this time, of course, Anthony, we extend our best wishes and prayers to all those. As you mentioned, just like lit the last candle. And yeah, we can only hope for the best going forward in this time of, yes, times of turmoil and uncertainty. Anthony, we have the leaders of Greece, Cyprus and Israel meeting in Jerusalem today for a regional summit. What can we expect from this?
Well, this is a very interesting meeting that will be happening today. The relationship between Greece, Israel and Cyprus is quite an interesting one in the extent to which it's developed over the last few years. The Cypriot president, Nikos Christodoulis, and the Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis will be meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu later today. And this is really all about Turkey. Greece, Cyprus, and Israel have cooperated over many years where it comes to economic cooperation. There have been undersea cables that have been built for telecommunications purposes that have stretched from Israel to Cyprus, from Cyprus onward to Greece, from Israel to Italy, from various countries around the Middle East. And of course, Greece, Israel, and Cyprus have cooperated very much on that level, and more recently when it comes to the natural gas fields that have been discovered in the Mediterranean, and Israel and Cyprus particularly have been cooperating significantly in trying to exploit the natural gas fields that have recently been discovered. However, the whole situation with Turkey is one which is common to all three of those countries and is creating a much, much closer friendship and a much, much closer trilateral partnership than was the case before. And there can be little doubt that the deterioration of Israel's relationship with Turkey in recent years has really driven this new trilateral pact that is being formed between the three countries. Greece and Turkey have been at loggerheads with each other already for some years.
Right.
We can remember that in 1974, Turkey attacked Cyprus and still holds the northern part of Cyprus. And in fact, even the capital of Cyprus, Nicosia, is now the only city in the world which is divided. It has a wall that runs down the middle of the city, dividing the Turkish northern part of the city from the Greek Cypriot southern part of the city. And of course, that wall extends across the island such that Turkey still occupies northern Cyprus because it was taken by force and illegally. However, that situation has remained for the last 50 years. And so clearly Turkey and Greece and Cyprus are very much loggerheads with each other. There is a significant disagreement, not only over Cyprus and the division of Cyprus, but indeed other diplomatic issues as well. They certainly don't see eye to eye. And now in recent years, Turkey has very much taken the side of Hamas, supported Hamas's attack against Israel on October the 7th, housed Hamas leaders in Turkey, has come out really criticizing Israel on many, many fronts. And so this has really driven this new pact. And in fact, we understand that not only will there be this meeting today in Jerusalem, which will encourage closer cooperation, but there is even the talk of a mutual military force being created, with each of those three countries contributing troops and equipment to a joint military force that could potentially be used against Turkey or indeed other attacks against those three countries. But this, of course, is a classic case of the enemy of your friend, the enemy of your enemy is your friend, which means
yes,
that with Turkey being the common enemy, anybody else who has Turkey as a common enemy creates some sort of a friendship. And so that's very much the situation here between Greece, Israel and Cyprus.
Anthony, time just to squeeze in one more topic of discussion. Bereaved families have rejected the idea of a government commission of inquiry into the events of October the 7th and the subsequent war. What's happening here?
There has been so much talk of setting up a national commission of inquiry to really investigate what happened on October the 7th and what happened in the war.
Right.
And the government has rejected the idea of a national commission of inquiry. National commission of inquiry means an independent committee appointed by the court in Israel in order to independently, and I emphasize this word because I've used it twice or three times
sure.
already, independently investigate all of the events that led up to October the 7th and, of course, the subsequent war as well. Now, the government has consistently rejected that. And the reason that they give for not being willing to cooperate with this idea is the fact that they don't trust the judiciary. The government and Israel's judiciary are currently not in agreement with each other. And the government has this view, which they like to put out in the press, that somehow the judiciary has some sort of an axe to grind with the Israeli government and mm-hmm. with individual members of the Israeli government. And they don't right. believe, the members of the government don't believe, that the judiciary will be independent in the way that they appoint the committee that will ultimately investigate not only the military response, not only the intelligence response, but also the government's role in what happened on October the 7th and beyond that. So the government is saying, we are not going to allow this National Commission of Inquiry, which is really the ultimate committee that could be appointed as far as Israeli law is concerned. That is the highest level of independent committee that can be appointed. And coincidentally, the job of appointing the committee was given to the Israeli court system and not to the government. However, the government has said no to that idea, but we will do our own investigation. What does that mean? That means that they are in the process of appointing a ministerial committee of inquiry, which will be headed by the prime minister. And he will lead the committee and will clearly also lead the direction of what the committee investigates and who they investigate and all that kind of thing. And of course, the fear and the concern and the frustration is that by appointing this ministerial committee of inquiry, it will not be sufficiently independent to investigate the government's role in all that happened on October the 7th. And we really do need that to be part of the investigation.
Indeed.
So that is the reason why these bereaved families, which they've now created a committee which is called the October Committee. And that committee is really representative on a national level for voicing some of the views of the bereaved families. And they are saying no to this ministerial committee of inquiry. My view is that even though the current government feels that this is the right thing to do, I feel that there will ultimately be some sort of a national committee of inquiry, even if it's not under the guise of the current government, but that ultimately, even after the next election and whenever the next government will be elected, I feel that it is inevitable that a national committee of inquiry will mm-hmm. need to investigate. This is
Indeed.
One of Israel's greatest events and greatest disasters,
sure.
and a national committee of inquiry is the minimum that one can expect.
Anthony, we're going to have to leave it there. Wish we could have unpacked a few more issues with you, but thanks so much for joining us on today's Morning Mayhem. Anthony Reich, Israel correspondent, bringing us the Israel Report. Well, it's just gone 8 o'clock. Time now for a news update. Here's Lindy.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.